Sabbath blessings, everyone. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to start with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for blessing us with your presence today, from the start of Sabbath all the way until the time you come back to bring us home. We have met you many times in prayer, and we thank you so much for blessing us with those hugs from heaven. Thank you also for blessing us with the changing of the show bread on this Sabbath day, as you do and promise to do all throughout eternity. And thank you again, Father, for forgiving us and cleansing us and blessing us with the latter rain when that day comes, if we are so worthy. Thank you also for blessing everyone here in attendance, all the prayer requests that are being put in the room, and all the prayer requests that we have offline on our prayer list, which is huge. Thank you for counting the hairs on all of our heads. We know you've got absolute control over everything, and so we have undoubting trust in you and whatever you plan to do. Yeah, because we know nothing evil comes from above. And thank you for blessing us with more love for you and for each other. And thank you for bridling my tongue and any tongue that speaks, so that you are the only one being glorified. And we offer this prayer unto you in the name of your Son, our Savior, our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. So, then don't worry, Fran. I've forgotten to pray at the end of a sermon a few times, where some of the brothers had to say, "Hey, what about prayer?" You know, and because it's understandable, you being sick and all, so don't worry about it, girl. We all done it. So, this week, we're still in we're going to be in the sanctuary for another year, probably two. But we're touching on this week, still in prayer, you know, in regards to the lampstand. The altar of incense, with the, you know, of course, with the lampstand and the table of showbread. But we're focusing on the altar of incense that represents the prayers of the saints. Oh wow, I think Big Head is just walking up the sidewalk. Finally, I was worried about that cat. Didn't see him this morning. Anyway. Because I'm just looking at him out the camera here. So this week we're going to be touching on why Christians have been saying "in Jesus' name" at the end of their prayers, and what that actually entails. What does it mean? And yes, we're probably going to have something else next week in regards to prayer. I'm not sure yet, but because it's important. I've done a few sermons on prayer as well, because, as a matter of fact, I was just thinking about that this morning when I was answering a comment from a Roman Catholic. I think it was an atheist. Oh, no, it was a Roman Catholic. They were questioning me in regards to how I was exposing the Catholic exorcism practices, where it's totally the opposite of how Jesus or the apostles did it, or even how we've seen it done. You know, we say one prayer and boom, the demon's gone. You know, whereas with the Catholic priest or the exorcist, they'll do it for weeks, months, years, because they don't charge, quote unquote, but they expect money, and so that's why they do it, because it's all about the money, as well as all about the deception. In other words, instead of looking to Christ to help, they look to man to help. It's just like with the confessional; they look to confess their sins to man instead of confessing to Christ, or the Eucharist, they look at that to worship instead of Christ in heaven, you know. So, it's sad. Keep them in your prayers. But it was pretty amazing in regards to how the Lord showed me. I mean, because we've seen a lot more than I shared with him in that comment. And I might even use it on a Q&A Sabbath in the coming days, because everything was just coming out in regards to how we've seen demons cast out of people. We've seen bones go back under the flesh. We've seen crippled spines, paralyzed spines healed, burns from, you know, fire, pain instantly gone. We've seen the hearts of a baby with holes in it, all the holes close up and shock the doctors, and permanent brain damage reverse into going away, and Oh, man, there was another couple of things that I was sharing with him. Oh, yeah, toothache pain, gone instantly, stuff like that, just from prayer. And so prayer is very important. And this could be private prayer by yourself, or what I like to refer to as the even more powerful prayer is with brothers and sisters in the faith. But you got to have an understanding that they have the fruits, you know. Hence the reason Peter kicked people out when he raised Dorcas, and the same reason that Jesus kicked people out of the room when he raised that little girl from the dead. You don't want any scoffers or, you know, fake Christians, if you will. People that you don't have the fruits, you know, they can't. It's not safe to have them around when, you know, laying hands on somebody, let's say. And so it says in, says this in John chapter 14, verses 12 to 14. And thanks, Brother Warren, for locking down the room here, as well as whatever you guys are doing on the stream. And Brother Sean, who's going to be chiming in some of the verses like he just did. So John 14, verses 12 to 14 says, "Verily," let me change this because I keep forgetting to do this. There, now the picture's right for the room. I forgot to do it all last week. And so anyway, John 14, 12 to 14 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name," because a lot of people do that. They figure, oh, you got to enter the prayer with, you know, in Jesus' name. And in a way, it's a good idea. But the best thing, well, I'll get into that in a minute. But let me finish what he's saying here. He says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." And then he finishes verse 14 by saying, "If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." The key here is, in my name. Would Jesus pray that prayer? In other words, in the character of Christ, are you praying something that you... In other words, he says, if you ask anything that you know for a fact I won't have an issue with, you'll receive it. I will do it. And for those things that you're unsure about, that's why some of us call each other. We've all done this in the church family. I've done it a few times with some of y'all, and some of y'all have been, you know, done it to me, where, you know, you'll call three or five Christians, and you always call an odd number when you have a question in regards to what should I do here. So you call three, and the reason, it's kind of like, you know, drawing straws like the apostles did back in the day when they were trying to figure out who was going to take, you know, when Matthias ended up taking the place of Judas, because they needed 12 apostles, because that's the way it was prophesied to be. So, but a few things you get a note here. First and foremost is that we must believe that he is who he says he is. And just by looking at prophecy, that makes it childishly easy for me. I don't know. Some people, maybe they need something else. But when I see prophecy and how he says things thousands of years ago and it happens exactly as he said, I have no doubt that his name is Jesus and he has a Father and his Holy Spirit's in me. And so, but Hebrews 11 verse 6 says this. Let me find this. Yeah, okay, yeah. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And now this doesn't mean that if you don't have the faith to move a mountain, that you don't have faith. Your faith hasn't grown to that position, let's say. You still have faith, like the babe in Christ. They know Jesus hung on a cross. They know he died for them, and they know he resurrected. You have faith, whether you like it or not. You have faith. You're not saying, "Oh, I don't believe any of this malarkey about Jesus." No, that's an atheist. They have no faith, okay? You have faith. You just got to fine-tune it, if you will. You know, work on it. And faith cometh by hearing, right? Because that's what he says. And hearing what? Well, hearing the Word of God, it says in the Scripture. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So read your Bible every day, and you'll see how your faith will grow. But if you don't read your Bible every day, well, you're going to sit on the same rung. You're not going to get anywhere. And it might be that eventually Satan will go, "Well, I know how to attack this one because they won't go any further. They're not going to get any stronger. So I know this area, that area is going to be easy to knock them down." And since you've already shown the Lord in heaven that you have no intentions of trying any harder, 1 Corinthians 10:13 doesn't apply to you now, because you're not trusting him. You're not doing as he asks. You know, faith cometh by hearing the Word of God. I mean, all too often, when it even gets to prayers, people recite these prayers in the hopes they're in just the hopes that there is a God in heaven. I mean, Roman Catholicism is infamous in this regard in the way they offer thousands of canned or pre-written prayer. They recite these scripted prayers, and they literally write these things down. They're called novenas, and they script them in the exact same way a witch, you know, a cauldron-stirring witch recites an incantation. And no, I'm not saying that to offend Catholics. You guys aren't witches, all right? I'm not saying Catholics are witches and warlocks. It's not what I mean. Prophecy said this church, Roman Catholic Church, would mix paganism of the witch with the truth of Christianity so as to move even the wicked into a false sense of security towards heaven. Their prayers are all pre-written and supposedly designed to gain the ear of the one being prayed to. I mean, the fact that the Pope declared recently that atheists can gain heaven shows how they teach you don't even have to believe in God when asking him for anything. Just recite their so-called prayers and novenas, and the Lord will do as you please. This is how the witch and the Satanist has been taught as well. I mean, case in point. The Harry Potter fiasco, you know, that filth, that confirms it hands down. I mean, I never watched the movies or even read a book of this garbage because filth like that can affect the heart of the people reading it. I mean, take heed lest you fall. You don't want to be messing with stuff like this. Okay. Did we lose the stream? I just noticed I got a blank screen here. Hold on a second here. Let me just refresh it, see if it comes back. But I hope we didn't lose the stream. Can you all hear me on there? Hello? Oh, you didn't lose? I says, can you all hear me? And then SDRA just says, no. Which means you heard the previous question, right? So, but getting back. Okay, you guys can hear me? Okay, good. So we did lose it for a little bit there. All right. So getting back to this Harry Potter thing, like I said, I never watched any of the movies. I never even read any of these books that they have out there because it's filth, and it'll affect the heart of any Christian that reads it. You know, you don't want to jump into areas like this. Like the Bible says, take heed lest you fall. But I'm sure, as I've seen in posters and the advertisements over the years, these kids in the Harry Potter movies or novels, they carry these books around with them with pre-written incantations onto Satan in the exact same way the novenas of the Catholic Church are scripted onto another Jesus. And I say another Jesus because Jesus plainly said in Matthew 6, verse 7, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. And the word heathen here is translated from the Greek to be savoring of the nature of pagans, alien to the worship of the true God, heathenish, of the pagan or the Gentile. So that's just the brass tacks on that. I mean, that's how it's defined. And so Rome has admitted many times in writing that Catholicism is in fact paganism. And so it is to be expected that the fruit of the witch will be seen in the halls of Rome because they're pagans. They're neo-pagans, in fact, a little stronger than most. In fact, notice what the Pope stated when Harry Potter was being popularized back when it first came out and was written by that woman who is a witch, and she claims she's not, but by their fruits, okay? It says this, and I got this from an online source, and I also saw it in a newspaper, but it was... It came from Roman Catholic St. Andrews University, and they stated this on October 24th, 2010. It said this. Okay, let me get it. Okay, so it says, theologian and the so-called reverend. I hate calling these men reverend because the Bible says, reverend and holy is thy name, saith the Lord. So when they call themselves reverend, they're blaspheming, just like the Pope calling himself Holy Father. It's blasphemous. You should not do it. So anyway, this theologian by the name of Dr. Stephen Holmes has claimed Harry Potter should be seen as Christ, as a Christ-like figure because he promotes biblical values. He's the acting head of the Divinity of St. Andrews University, and it said here, it says, some religious commentators have been hasty in their condemnation of the phenomenally successful series. In other words, if it makes a couple of bucks, it must be good, right? Because the woman's a billionaire, they wrote, I can't remember her name. But I really, that doesn't matter to me. I just, you know, keep her in your prayers. Because she still has time to repent just like anybody else. And so One can see, oh, and by the way, the Vatican, I did a newsletter and a radio thing on this too. The Vatican actually sanctioned Harry Potter. They said it is good, wholesome entertainment for families. I actually have the quote on my website somewhere. And so one can see that such prayers offered in the manner of the incantation as Catholics, Muslims, Buddhists, and yes, the witch and the Satanists are only something Satan will listen to, as Jesus made it very clear repetitive prayer is not how Christians are to pray, and it falls on deaf ears. He won't listen to that stuff, right? And so when you do rosaries and novenas, because novena is just a repetitive prayer over and over and over again about the same thing to try to get a reaction from on high in regards to a prayer. And demons will do things. I've literally seen roses floating in midair. I've seen roses showing up at the end of, like on this altar out in the woods once with a gigantic crucifix of Christ. It was a Catholic cemetery. I used to go for a midday prayer using a rosary back then on the other side of Keene Avenue. Like you come up, it's called Sacred Heart Cemetery. It was like where a bunch of old nuns and priests are buried. And they had a shrine in the middle of it. And it was massive. I mean, it was a life-size cross of Jesus in there, and the shrine was a good 15 feet. And so it was massive because it also had an altar, and so the shrine had to be, the crucifix had to be above the altar. And so the thing is with these novenas, you pray these things, and then Satan will send a rose from heaven, but the Catholic Church says it wasn't Satan. It was St. Therese who said before she died that she'll send a she'll let fall from heaven a shower of roses, you know. And so they use that. And she probably never even said that, but they said she said it so they can have these demonic incantations occur. And as I was praying, oh no, that wasn't a rose floating. It was a leaf that was staying, and it went the opposite of the wind because I was doing the novena and I saw this leaf fall out of a tree and it stopped and it went backwards. And so I followed it. I figured, okay, apparition, because I'm Catholic at the time, right? And I'm thinking, hey, I'm going to go check it out. And so I went and checked it out, and it lands by this big old, you know, thing with the crucifix inside of it, but I've never seen it before. I've never been in it. Or no, maybe I did. It's just I never got there that day. And so, now remember, this so-called St. Therese is going to somehow say, look, your prayer's been answered, and there's going to be a rose to prove it, right? And so I walk into the cemetery, I open up the gates, walk in there, because it's some back road cemetery, no one drives by it or anything, and so I go in there, and I see the altar and this giant crucifix, and I see it has these gigantic screen doors that are made out of like metal, really thick metal screen, and so I have to open them to go inside, because I saw something on the altar, and it was a rose. It was dried up like somebody left it there days before, but it was a rose. And so the demons will make sure this stuff happens and that certain things happened afterwards that made it look like to me that my prayer was answered. But in fact, later on, I found out it was just a bunch of falderol that really didn't work out anyway because I ended up losing the house or the apartment anyway. So, but what about those, let's see, when it comes to praying in his name, one has to realize that, you know, praying as the witch does, it's not something Christ would do. And so the term in Jesus' name at the end of the prayer can also translate that praying in his character. And so how can such a prayer be heard when the one praying does not believe him when he says don't pray that way? Or worse yet, one who has the foul odor of tobacco or alcohol on their breath while praying. Or one who is in open sin and has no plans to stop, just to name a few. I mean, how can anyone of these believe their prayers are going to be heard? Unless, of course, it's the sinner's prayer. I mean, that's when they give total surrender to Christ, absolute surrender. Just give it up. Say, okay, what I've been trying ain't working. I just give it all up and say, whatever you say goes, I'm going to try it, Jesus. And that's what I did. And then, like most of you have done, I would imagine, all of us, I would think, and then all of a sudden you start to realize that, yeah, Christianity's real. He really, and you always think that, oh, you know, because like I remember when I first started looking for Christ, I didn't want to jump over the fence really quickly because I thought, well, I can't do this, I can't do that. The things I like to do after I meet him as Lord, And then after I actually surrendered, he took those desires away, and it was like I loathed them now. I didn't even, that was disgusting to me. I didn't want to do them anymore. And then I found out I can do things now as a Christian that I could never even contemplate doing before I was a Christian. So it really is greener on this side of the fence. But what are those Catholics, what are those people in the Catholic Church that found out about their church's bloody past and the Inquisitions of the fact that their own Catholic hospitals abort babies to this day? How can this person who knows all this expect to have their prayers answered when it is written in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 15? Isaiah chapter 1, verse 15, and it says, "And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers," that's the heathen prayer, right? Many, many, many. "I will not hear." And why won't he hear? It finishes with, "Your hands are full of blood." I mean, Jesus would never shed blood like this. And so this is not the character of Jesus Christ. And those that pray, knowing their church leaders in the Catholic Church do this, means they are guilty of the shedding of the blood in the same way a murderer that is guilty by association can be sentenced to jail time just as much as the murderer himself, because you didn't stop him, they'll say. So no getting around the fact that if you stay in a church that is bogged down with apostasy, that you are guilty of the same apostasy, because be it in the Roman Catholic Church or the SDA Church or any Protestant church for that matter, staying in the church means you have chosen to obey man rather than God, and so your judgment is absolute. But coming out of such churches means you have repented and the Lord will accept you as his child, and you'll see your prayer life explode. It gets amazing after that. And another way to pray outside the character of Jesus is to break God's law without repentance. Will our prayers be heard if praying in Jesus' name after reading what Proverbs 28:9 says? Seriously, Proverbs 28:9 says this: "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination." Yet billions of Christians break his law each week when they keep holy the Sabbath of the man of sin over and above the Sabbath of the Son of God. Or even SDAs, when they keep the Sabbath and then they go right after they get out of church, they go hang out in some restaurant or something. They break it, and they're taught to break it. I actually heard a Seventh-day Adventist pastor tell nurses in his church that, yeah, you can work on Sabbath day as nurses, just make sure that you donate all the money to me that you made so that you don't gain by it. You do it on a voluntary basis. But yet he's telling them, they work in a hospital that where maybe there's 10 SDAs and maybe 500 other people, nurses. So they can get their schedules changed. But rather than get them to prove Christ Lord, how many of us in this church family have been tested like this? Check it out. This is something that I've always loved about this church family, and anybody that has seen a blessing like this, they're always worried. It says, "Oh, can you please write me a letter so that I can show my boss that I can't work on..." No, that's your job. I'm not going to write the letter for you. It's your job to go forth and tell your boss, "This is why I can't work on Sabbath." And they always think, "Oh, I'm going to get fired. I'm going to get fired." Well, yeah, you might, but what's better, you know, gain all the things of the world or lose your salvation? Think about that. But every time, I haven't seen anybody yet that's gotten fired. And I'm not going to go into all this because it's going to take forever, but I've seen people that were overwhelmingly blessed and shocked that their boss would say, "Oh, yeah, no problem. I'll just schedule somebody else." You know, and even if, especially if you tell them, "Look, I can't work Sabbath, but I'll work every Sunday and I'll work every single holiday," because we don't do pagan holidays either, right? And a boss, especially the guy that does the scheduling, because I was a boss and I had my own businesses and stuff, and I know if I had an employee that wouldn't that would have no problem working on Sundays and holidays, oh man, that person was penciled in. That just gives you a relief. Bosses like to hear that stuff. Yeah, they'll give you a day off, whatever day of the week you want. You know? So, we also have to understand that even when we do pray in his name, which can be easily done by confessing and repenting of every known sin before praying, so just do that. If you're not clear if you're doing it right or not, please, right before you get on your knees, ask the Lord, please forgive you of everything that you have done, everything that you did yesterday or even that day, you know? If you know you've done something wrong, tell him you're sorry, because he's going to forgive you 70 times 77. Remember what he told Peter? And so, while praying, though, you got to understand that you might still ask for something that your father cannot allow. I mean, hence the reason James chapter 4, verse 3 said, James 4, verse 3, it said, you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. I mean, that verse can be directed to the unrepentant sinner praying unto God as well as the obedient Christian who simply isn't aware that the prayer is selfish in nature. In fact, all of us as babes have no doubt prayed such prayers often, and even unto our old age as Christians will continue to ask amiss simply because we cannot know the end from the beginning, and sometimes we have no clue as to how selfish we can be at times. We don't realize that this is not good for you. I'm going to say no to this prayer, but at the end of this trial that you're going through, you're going to go, oh, thank you for not saying yes. It literally happens that way. And so, as our Heavenly Father delights to answer every question, you know, of His Son through His obedient bride, us, our Lord, our Savior, our King, simply cannot present some of these prayers to His Father knowing they are asked in error. Hence the reason all of us have been taught by our King Jesus that some of our prayers will be answered with a no. Jesus simply cannot endorse such a prayer to the Father in His name. And we have to be in a place that we are perfectly okay with that because He truly does know what's best for us. In fact, how many of us have prayed for something years ago that was answered no to, you know, and it wasn't until years later we discovered how wrong we were in asking for such a thing. And I can recall quite a few prayers that I have prayed that I'm so praising His name today that he said no. And think on this as well. As we know, the incense in the temple represents the prayers of the saints. Check out Exodus chapter 30, verse 9. Exodus 30, verse 9. On this topic, in regards to, you know, asking amiss, it says, you shall offer no strange incense thereon. No burnt sacrifice, or nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall ye pour drink offering thereon. In other words, the high priest knew not to bring strange incense into the holy place, and so it was and he's a mere man, and he knew this. Our heavenly high priest, Jesus Christ, would most assuredly never bring strange incense into the holy place as well. I mean, if the human priest isn't going to do it, you know your Lord, Savior, and King is not going to. And so praise the Lord for His mercy unto us because He knows full well all our limitations as He truly did walk a mile in our shoes without everyone slipping off the path. And when we ask amiss, Jesus cannot present that strange incense unto the Father because in so doing He would soil His own character unto the Father because He knows you are His child. He knows you're trying your best. And He knows you just don't get it yet because we're not super intelligent down here. You know, a doctor of divinity is just as dumb as a bag of rocks when it comes to the... I mean, like, Fran and I were reading the Word the other day, and she brought up a point where the Lord says the smartest man on the planet is like it says in the Word, but in better words, I'm paraphrasing, but the smartest man on the planet is foolishness unto the Lord. Because you really, I mean, seriously, to try to create, I mean, if you just want to talk about creation, not about the wisdom involved into His truth and why it works so well to have just 10 commandments instead of tens of thousands of laws like America alone has, His wisdom is off the chart. You can't even compare it to. But look at the creation of things. It reminds me of a comic strip I saw many, many years ago. I think it was in a religious magazine because... the guy was trying to make a point in regards to these evolutionists that were going to create life from the elements that they find in dust and in the world and prove the Bible's bogus, right? And but they can't do it because life is given from on high. If you've ever seen that video, I did it twice, in fact, where the moment an egg is fertilized in the womb, there's a flash of light, just like the Bible said. That's... you know, life given onto it. And then you got the breath of life you got to deal with, right? Once the baby's born, the Lord's not going to put the breath of life inside whatever you created, if you can, in fact, create anything, because He's the one who gives the breath of life. That's why you can get knocked clean out. Someone punches you upside the head and knocks you clean out. You're gone. I mean, you're in a dream or something, but you're still breathing. That's how much He cares for you. You're still breathing. He didn't stop your chest from going up and down. Unless He hits you really hard, well, then you're dead. But yeah, the guy in the comic strip, and I'll close with this, the guy in the comic strip, you show the scientist boasting. He says, I can create life, no problem. And so in the next frame, he shows the artist shows the scientist bend over and grab a bunch of dust from the earth. And then you see the Lord speak from on high saying, get your own dust. Because that's the reality of it. They always want to cheat and say, look what we have created. Look at the AMA, the way they keep calling themselves gods and saying that, you know, because like the one time when one of my sons was in the intensive care and all that, 11 doctors were on him, right? He had 11 doctors. All of them saw a few miracles, but only 4 of the doctors admitted it. The rest were saying, what, I didn't do anything? You know, they had that kind of an attitude, like they're above that. They know. Everybody will say, Jesus did this. Look, you didn't do anything to do that. What about the reversal of brain damage? How on earth can you do that when you state in your own books and your own lips? As a matter of fact, they called me. They couldn't figure out what was going on. How some brain damage was actually reversed. That just doesn't happen, they said. That just does not happen. It does not shrink. And so, but at least four of those doctors, one of them was the one that called here and told me about that the gray matter thing, where it turns white when there's damage and how it doesn't reverse, it'll stay like that. I says, well, for some reason, your son's is reversing. But anyway, again, when we ask amiss, Jesus cannot present that strange incense onto the Father because in so doing, he's going to soil his own character. And he's simply not going to do that, ever. And so this is no doubt the reason the disciples asked him in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, Lord, teach us to pray. In other words, today, read your Bible. Go and pray you were blessed. I'll be back in a minute.